TMZ TV.
I have to take a break from talking to you about Paul's use of the word flesh in Romans chapter 8, because I need to talk to you about the snatching away. I can't go very many days without talking to you about our departure from this earth, out of this veil of tears, out of this realm of disease, death, war, famine, plague, disruption, discouragement, hate. And so I'm coming to you with my back against a wall. I'm going to show you my cathedral here, my pulpit, sitting next to a garbage can. To my right, a stepladder to my left, two more garbage cans. This is my cathedral. This is my pulpit. This is my arena. This is my field. And I pray that as I speak, that the Word of God may come alive to you, because I'm going to quote from the Word of God. And I'm going to pray to God as I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that something Paul says to us, something Paul says to me as I'm reading it to you, will fill us anew with an expectation, our rightful expectation, and the promise of our God to deliver us. I feel like Israel in Egypt crying out for deliverance. Our voices do not go into the void. Every single tear, every single word, every single plea, every single cry goes directly into the ear of God. He has not forgotten us. He has not forsaken us. He has remembered the promise He made to us through the Apostle Paul. And today I am going to remind you of those words, for in very few passages of Scripture does Paul write as plainly and forthrightly and unambiguously as he does in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'll try to maintain my composure, because this Scripture is as close as we're going to get to a direct word from God. You understand? God, the creator of all, the one who lives in our hearts, the one who sustains us barely sustains us by design. Keeps us disappointed, keeps us longing, keeps us waiting because of the fulfillment that He has in mind for us. It's all about the contrast, always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also. Paul uses a euphemism here for death. Reposing. Repose is a nice word. It means to be at rest, to lay down your burdens. And we all have those loved ones who are reposing. Some of them reposing in Christ, some of them not. Paul is not, in this context that I'm about to read you, giving us a word of comfort concerning those who are reposing, who were not believers in Christ. We have to go to other passages for that. I could go to 1 Corinthians 15:22, could go to Romans 5:18 and 19, speaking of how Christ is a ransom for all. Everyone born in Adam will eventually be justified in Christ. But that's not what this passage is. This passage is directly to us who are currently travailing upon this stage where the ultimate drama between good and evil took place. Good old, ancient, tottering planet Earth. It's where we are. We feel orphaned. We feel abandoned. We're wandering in a place where we don't belong. And Paul is going to comfort us, but he first has a heart for those who have lost loved ones in the faith. But he uses that as a springboard to reveal something that had never been revealed before. It's one of the secrets of Paul. We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are reposing, lest you may sorrow according as the rest also, who have no expectation. We're surrounded by people who have no expectation, and they sorrow when they see death. And we sorrow as well, but we are not to sorrow as they sorrow, because we have what they do not have, and that is an expectation. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, thus also those who are put to repose, will God, through Jesus Christ, lead forth together with him. For this we are saying by the word of the Lord. I'm going to pause right here, because what Paul is about to say is so fantastic, so improbable, so cartoon-like, so movie script-like, that even some who call themselves members of the body of Christ don't believe it. But again, I say, rarely has Paul been so plain and used such plain words and sewed words together in such a sensible way than he does here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we are saying to you by the word of the Lord. And if Paul was under inspiration of the Holy Spirit before, which he was, Paul, the writer, is completely gone right now. Paul is completely the channel of a word that is so true, so reliable, that I put it on par with "let there be light," and there was light. That's how sure this word is, because it is unusual for Paul to introduce something. This we are saying to you by the word of the Lord. This is a word that Paul received directly from Jesus Christ. And here it is. We, the living, that's us, who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. Notice Paul takes for granted the presence of the Lord. He takes for granted the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return in the air to this planet physically, bodily, to rescue his body. And not only to rescue his body from whatever trials we're going through, and there are plenty, but he is coming to take us to the place where he lives, where he is. In order to complete himself. Because Jesus, the Christ, is incomplete without his body. He's called the head of the body. We complete him, and he completes the universe. And he will not begin the work of completing the universe until he is completed. And he is not completed until we join him. We, the living, who are surviving to that day of the presence of the Lord, should by no means outstrip those who are put to repose. For the Lord himself will be descending from heaven. The Lord himself will be descending from heaven. This tells me, because I'm a logical thinker and I can read words and I can understand them, and there's no other way to take this. I'm sorry, there is no other way to take this. You can't take this figuratively, because the literal makes too much sense. Just because literal is fantastic and barely believable, you know the rule that I've constantly brought to you, literal if possible. That rule is not literal as long as it fits your idea of what should happen. No, it's not literal as long as you can imagine it. No, literal if possible. So what I'm reading to you is not only possible, but it's going to happen. Therefore, it is literal. On that note, let me continue. The Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command. You know what that is? A shout of command. Have you ever seen a war movie? A shout of command. The Lord himself, literal, the literal Lord, will literally descend from literal heaven with a literal shout of a literal command. Are you with me so far? Good? Yes? With the voice of the chief messenger, and he is the chief messenger, and he does have a voice because he used it while he was on earth. He has a voice. It has a range. It has an audio range. It has a vibration range. The voice is literal. When Jesus Christ was baptized at the Jordan River, there was a voice from heaven saying, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." It was a literal voice. People heard it. Some thought it was thunder. It was audible. This voice will be audible, and it will be the actual voice of Jesus Christ. Have you heard those old recordings? The voice you will now hear will be the voice of the President of the United States. Or the next voice you hear will be the voice of the Chancellor of Germany. The next voice you hear will be the voice of Jesus Christ. And as soon as we hear it, we will know it, because it will be a voice unlike any voice we have ever heard. And it's like we will say, "I've heard that voice somewhere before. Where have I heard that voice?" You never have heard it audibly, physically, with your ears, but you've heard it in your spirit. But this you will hear with your ears, and it will be the unmistakable voice of Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified for our sins who died for our sakes. And it will be a shout of command. No whispers here, no parables to the disciples, no inside information to the favored few. This will be a shout of command, much like our Lord at the grave, at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. There will be no ambiguity about it whatsoever. It will be, I say it again, unmistakable. And it will be the most comforting sound we have ever heard in our lives. Descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God. All these things, voice, shout, and a trumpet. Literal? Yes. Trumpet of God. What does it sound like? I don't know, but when I hear it, then I will know that that's what it is. And you will also know. And the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Literal, if possible. Have the dead raised before? Yes. Lazarus, the widow of Nain's son. Many after the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ himself raised from the dead. Yeah, it's happened before. And those who have died believing our message, this message that I've been heralding to you for 25 years, and that the Apostle Paul heralded, the first one to herald it, those who believed it, who have died, will raise from the dead. Literal. Death is not permanent. It's a temporary repose, and a temporary repose only. But watch what happens next. Thereupon, we the living. I've never read any passage of Paul that was so plain, so simply worded. This is not figurative. Thereupon, we the living who are surviving shall at the same time be snatched away. Away from where? Away from this earth, together with them in clouds. Do you know what clouds are? Literal clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord, so that console one another with these words. It was on my heart today, for some reason, to read these words. I wanted to make my words few. And I wanted to read to you these words. Console one another with these words. And I wanted them to be a consolation to you today and for myself as well. And because this great event that is so simply described here that a five-year-old can understand it, because this event has been so long in coming, we tend to think that God is slack concerning His promises. But the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Never. He never forgets what He says. Ever. And we know that 1,000 years is as a day to God. 2 Peter 3:8. And so that the passage of 2,000 years since our apostle wrote these words are like 2 days to God. Oh, it's fresh in His mind, believe me. It's fresh. It's like He just uttered it. And I can't quite get over Paul, who knows he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doubles down on it by saying, "This we are saying to you by the word of the Lord." Doubling down on inspiration. My friends, doubling down on inspiration. And now here I am, 2,000 years later, sitting next to a garbage can and a ladder in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, consoling you with these same words. Isn't that astounding? Isn't it a miracle that we still have these same words? Do you think for a second that God would leave us without these words? Sometimes we think God is mean to us. Where is God? Why doesn't He talk to us? Has He forgotten us? Is He slack concerning His promises? Nope. He is not slack concerning His promises. This is going to happen, and I believe it's going to happen soon. And the fact that this verse deals with a problem, that when the day, the hour, the minute, and the second arrives for this to happen, there are going to be members of the body of Christ who are alive on the earth, standing in line at Walmart, driving their cars, in the shower, on the phone. There are going to be members of the body of Christ living on the earth. Paul knew this. That's how practical this is. Because it happens in an instant. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe with you that we are the generation that will be alive and breathing and suffering on this earth on the day that Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout of command and the voice of the chief messenger, and the dead in Christ, including Paul, will raise from the dead silently, unnoticeably, except perhaps to us. We sense it. Stage left. Something has happened. There's movement to our left. And we will know, oh my God, the dead in Christ have just been raised. And before we can even process that thought, there may be a second or two of realization, of recognition that this is it, it's here. And before we will have time to process that, we will be changed in an instant. Greek word, atomos, the most imperceptibly small period of time, we will be changed in an instant. And then the dead in Christ and those who have just been standing on the earth will be snatched away together to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And we know that it is His design to take us to His celestial home in what is now light inaccessible. And thus shall we always be together with the Lord. So that, console one another with these words.